fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Wednesday's show, Napoli and Victor Osimhen, the newly crowned African Footballer of the Year, ease into the UEFA Champions League knockout stage with a victory at home. The countdown continues for next month's Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Ivory Coast. And in pro basketball, I'll talk NBA highlights with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. In Italy, Victor Osimhen and Napoli defeated the Portuguese club Braga Tuesday 2-0 to complete group play in the UEFA Champions League with 10 points from 6 matches. Napoli advanced to the knockout stage along with group leader Real Madrid, which beat host Union Berlin 3-2. Madrid finished group play unbeaten with 6 victories. Osimhen scored in the 33rd minute in Naples on a left-footed shot from the center of the box to the left corner. He traveled to Naples from Marrakesh, Morocco, where on Monday evening he became the first Nigerian player since Nwankwo Kanu in 1999 to be named the African Footballer of the Year. And while Victor Osimhen has received more than a few cheers the past couple of days, it was jeers and boos at Old Trafford Tuesday. Manchester United suffered an embarrassingly early exit from the Champions League with a 1-0 loss to Bayern Munich. Kingsley Coman had a 70th-minute goal for Bayern, which finished on top of Group A with 16 points. Copenhagen advanced to the round of 16 behind Bayern by beating Galatasaray 1-0 at home. In Group B, Mukbil Yabaro's favorite team, Arsenal, drew 1-1 at second-place PSV Eindhoven in a match between teams that had already qualified for the knockout stage. And while Mukbil supports Arsenal, I know my VOA colleague Mike Hove can't be happy with the Champions League performance of his favorite team, Manchester United. With 31 days until the kickoff of the Africa Cup of Nations tournament, I asked Mike, are there specific star players you'll be following in Ivory Coast?
List, Sonny, is endless. I will point out a couple of names here. Let's start off with Morocco. And the reason why I'm starting off with Morocco is because, I mean, let's look at their World Cup performance. That was really amazing.
Highest ranked African team.
So I'm going to start off there with Morocco. They've got a lot of heavy hitters in their list. We'll start with the goalkeeper, Yassine Bounou. He's playing out in Saudi Arabia. He was recently, he was a standout player for the Moroccans in the World Cup. We'll go with Achraf Hakimi at PSG, right back. Everybody knows he's doing amazing things out there. Sofyan Amrabat, I'm a Manchester United fan, so he's someone that I'm looking forward to see what he can do in the defensive midfielder. Hakim Ziyech, he broke my heart in the last Champions League game. Did amazing things for Galatasaray, so I'm expecting him to stand out too. So those are a couple of names with the Moroccans. Now, there's also the Ghanaians. Like I said, for me, there are two teams that really I expect to shine at this World Cup, and that is Ghana and Morocco. With the Ghanaians, they also have a long list of players that are going to stand out here. So just to name a few. Actually, let me start off with the Egyptians before I head to the Ghanaians. The Egyptians, they've got Mohamed El Shenawy. He plays in the local league, but their goalkeeper, really, he does amazing things. He's a standout player, 34. He's a veteran. We'll also head over to Mahmoud Trezeguet, their left wing. He's had an amazing career as a footballer, so I'm looking forward to see what they do. And then, of course, the last player that we're going to spotlight from Egypt, Mohamed Salah.
Big Mo.
He does amazing things for Liverpool, so I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. If we look at their recent games that they played really great in their World Cup qualifiers. I don't even know what to call what they did to Djibouti. That was 6-0. They blasted them out the water. So that was exciting. To see what they did with Sierra Leone, 2-0, that was also another thing. So those are a couple of teams that I'm going to be spotlighting. Ghana, They've got a long list of players, and I'm gonna start off with by shouting out my man Mokbil. He's one of the Ghanaians, Thomas Partey. He's a solid central defensive midfielder. I've seen him play right back for Arsenal, so I'm really excited to see how versatile he'll be at AFCON. Mohamed Kudus, kudos for Kudus. It's going to be exciting to see what he can do at AFCON, considering his World Cup performance. That's something I'm looking forward to.
Well, Mike, my only hesitation about going with Ghana, their build-up for this Nations Cup has been...
it's been rocky.
Been rocky. I know they were here in the States for some friendly matches, and the USA, they really did a number on them.
Yes, definitely. So here's the thing. The reason why I spotlight Ghana is the star players that they have. When it's time to play, it's time to play. I saw what they did in the World Cup. They almost made it to the quarters. They almost made it to the next round. That, for me, was something that really made a statement that when it's really time to switch it on, they're really capable of switching it on. Their World Cup qualifiers, and of course, like you highlighted, their U.S. friendly wasn't really impressive. They won one game against Madagascar, 1-0. Comoros, they lost 1-0. And like you highlighted, the U.S. performance wasn't as exciting. But Sonny, that principle has applied to other teams. Look at Nigeria. Nigeria's two recent World Cup qualifiers, they drew both of them to teams that are, no offense, I am Zimbabwean by birth, so I'm excited to see Zimbabwe play up there. But against the Super Eagles, for them to draw 1-1, that really was not impressive. For Nigeria to draw 1-1 to Lesotho, that's not impressive. So I don't really want to use the World Cup qualifiers as an example as to how their performance are, but I want to look at the players, the star players, and of course their performances when it's time to switch on.
What about the host team, Mike? The Elephants of Ivory Coast.
Yes.
They'll definitely have partisan support.
Yes, of course.
For all their matches. What do you think of their chances?
So I'm excited to see how Ivory Coast performs. Like you highlighted, this is home ground for them. Every team, when they play at home, the home ground advantage does something. They don't really have the star power that I expect in comparison to a Ghana, in comparison to an Egypt, in comparison to a Senegal. So there's two players that really are doing amazing things that are from Ivory Coast, and that would be Seko Fofana. He plays with CR7 Al Nassr out in Saudi Arabia, and Wilfred Zaha, who plays with Galatasaray. Those two players really are standout players. They've done amazing things. However, once again, to go back to their World Cup qualifiers, they blew Seychelles out the water 9-0, and they lost to Gambia 2-0.
The Islanders had a tough road there.
Exactly. So for me, I'm really excited to see what Ivory Coast does. However, I that's not a team that I expect them to go far, but I don't see them reaching the finals.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with my VOA colleague, Mike Hove, about the upcoming Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. The Sunny Side of Sports and The Voice of America will have special coverage of the Africa Cup of Nations in Ivory Coast. And Mike, maybe talk briefly about our podcasts that we're planning.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be having an amazing podcast that I look forward to hosting with you, Sonny. We're going to have people on the ground and that are going to be coming on. We're going to have, we expect to have a couple of big hitters that will be joining us as guests. So it's something that I'm looking forward to. This is going to be six episodes that we're going to host throughout the whole tournament every week, making sure that people get updated information. So we're talking the best players, we're talking the highest scores, we're talking who's disappointed, who's doing amazing. So it's something that I'm looking forward to.
I'm looking forward to it too. And also, what about the digital aspects of our AFCON coverage?
Of course, definitely. We want to give you on the ground footage. So everything, we want to make sure that you hear from the fans. We want to make sure that you hear from the coaches. We want to make sure that everything will be available to you. So for all our Instagram followers, follow us at VOA Africa. Follow our webpage, voaafrica.com. Come to our Facebook page, Sunny Side of Sports, and of course, VO Africa. So those are the places where you'll be getting day-by-day information. You'll be hearing from the fans. You'll be hearing from the coaches. You'll be hearing from the sports. You'll be hearing it all, folks.
Thanks, Mike. That's my VOA colleague, Mike Hove. Pro basketball in Dallas, Texas. Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks edged LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers 127 to 125. Luka and LeBron each scored 33 points, while Lakers big man Anthony Davis finished with 37 points and 11 rebounds. But it was an unexpected hero for the Mavs, who came up big in Dallas. Australian guard Dante Exum scored a season-high 26 points with a career-best 7 3-pointers.
You know, I think most importantly, we got the win. You know, we got up early and then they fought back. We knew it was a back-to-back, so we knew we had to fight. And they were coming off their tournament win. So I think it was a good, you know, just fighting game back and forth, yeah.
Meanwhile, Luka Doncic praised Dante Exum for his performance.
But I think tonight was his best game. Just simply unbelievable. His pace, his defense, obviously his shooting today. So he's been amazing for us.
It was a tough loss for the Lakers. Head coach Darvin Ham says hats off to Dante Exum.
Night was his night. It's a make or miss league. He happened to make them. And so he, Grant Williams, I think Tim Hardaway Jr. as well, those guys combining for 17 threes. I mean, it's amazing. 17 out of 26. That's a ton. And, you know, all the while trying to deal with Luka.
Joining me now for some NBA insights is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabarow. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Mukbil, we just heard from Lakers coach Darvin Ham how the Lakers, you know, you try to deal with Luka, and then Dante Exum, with probably the best game of his NBA career, just comes out with an incredible shooting performance from three-point territory to help lead the Mavs to that narrow victory over the Lakers. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I would agree. I think Coach Ham really, really had his hands full with not only Dante Exum, but a combination of players that were there really to assist Doncic when the going got tough for him, as the Lakers were making it a priority to try and stop him as much as they could. Tim Hardaway Jr. went off for 32 points. Luka had 33, so it just goes to show you that Tim Hardaway was really on his game. He was 5 for 10 from three. Grant Williams added an additional 19 points. He was 5 for 7 from three-point land. It was a collective effort. And interestingly enough, this is without Kyrie, you know. So this team really has shown that, you know, they are a very, very deep team that is finding ways to get help to Luka in ways that I don't think a lot of us may have thought was possible from this roster. You look at the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, they lost by 2 points. Final score is 127-125, but really that last three-pointer that LeBron put up, score was 122-127. LeBron had an open look at the end of regulation, so score looked a little closer than it was. LeBron went off for 33 points. Anthony Davis had a team high of 37 points and 11 rebounds. But outside of that, wasn't really too much more help. Austin Reeves had 22 points, but the team has got to get some of their other players, like a D'Angelo Russell. He had 7 points. He's got to score about 15, 20 in order for that team to win. Hachimura, 7 points. He's also got to, you know, pick it up. Cam Reddish had 4 points. He's got to get about maybe 10, 11-ish in order for this team to, you know, really do what they need to do. But, hey, they're coming off of that in-season tournament win. Maybe they're a little gassed out, you know, because you have to win, I believe, like 3 or 4 games once it gets to that knockout phase in a row. So maybe that could be the case.
Good point, Mukbil. Maybe the Lakers, you know, maybe having a little
little celebrations there in Vegas, and then they had to follow that up by going to Dallas. But from Dallas, let's go to Phoenix now, Muckbill. Exciting contest between the Suns and the Golden State Warriors. The Suns hang on to beat the Warriors 119-116. I know you watched that game, Muckbill. How about some insights?
Yeah, absolutely, Sonny. I think this is another situation where Phoenix has two of their three stars back at it. So Devin Booker has been in for a while, and Bradley Beal just came back. Now, with Bradley Beal coming back, does he look like his usual self that we know? Not really. It's going to take him a little while to get back into the groove of things. He had 16 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. But Devin Booker was really the anchor of that team all game. 32 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. He also went for – he was 50% from three-point land as well, 3-for-6 from 3. Now, outside of that, did he really get that much more help? Not really. The game was relatively close the entirety of the way, but I think Devin Booker was really the one who kind of just put it over the top. Biggest takeaway from that specific game was Draymond Green. And Draymond Green has had a, I wouldn't say it's a temperament issue, but he's been that tough guy type of player for the Golden State Warriors throughout their championship run, right? He's found out a way to be a solid member for that team in intangible ways at times, because the team is looked at as a little bit of a softer team, and he adds that edge, almost that Detroit Pistons bad boys basketball edge, and he is from Michigan. Now, the problem with Draymond in this season in particular, he's just been getting ejected for a whole lot of nonsense. He ends up getting ejected for a flagrant on Nurkic in the third quarter. And when you really look at the play was, I would say that Nurkic was the one who initially fouled him. He kind of was holding onto his hip a little bit, getting a little extra physical. But Draymond, in order to try to get him off him, swung his hand in a motion, ended up hitting, almost looked like somewhat of a punch or like an open-handed punch to Nurk in his neck or his face area. There's just no space for that type of nonsense in the game today. You know how difficult it is for the refs to already, you know, ref these games. And then we have a commissioner who has really made the game a lot more safe, but a lot softer too. So this is not a place where you can do something like that and think you can get away with it, especially with the replay and everything. So in order for him to be, you know, the best possible version of himself for this Warriors team, he has to stay on the floor. And he's found ways numerous times this season to be ejected. Super unfortunate.
Muckbill, you talk about numerous times for Draymond. I'm checking the stats now. That marked the 18th time in his career that he's been ejected from a game, the most among active NBA players. Well, Muckbill, from Phoenix, let's go to Boston, where the Celtics win their 17th game of the season. Their record of 17-5 is matched by the Minnesota Timberwolves for the NBA's best record. The Celtics beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 120-113. And right now, Muckbill, I'd say the Celtics definitely look like they could add another championship banner to their very proud history.
No, absolutely. I think this Celtics team, for the core perspective, has been relatively the same for the last few years. They've been a very young team. But this year they went out and made sure to add some real, real value. And I think picking up Porzingis and Jrue Holiday is really what's going to take this team over the top. Jrue Holiday is similar to Marcus Smart that they had for their last couple of championship efforts. But I think he's a better offensive player than Marcus Smart. And they're similar defensive guards as well, you know, both of them defensive player of the year caliber type of guards. So I think they add that value in Jrue Holiday. And then you got a guy like Porzingis because Horford was their main center, you know, for a while. And he can get you those corner threes and get you involved with some of his defense. But Porzingis is just a lot more, I would say, has a better offensive repertoire. He gets into a lot of pick and roll situations with Jaylen Brown and Tatum. And really, he just spaces the floor in a way that's a little different than Horford because he could put the ball on the floor as well. And then you still have Horford coming in. You know, Horford still played solid 22 minutes as well, so he's still in rotation. You know, you have about an 8-man rotation that they're playing at the moment that is really, really ready to take it to that next level. So I'm excited for this Celtics team. And as you mentioned, I think it could be time for a new banner.
Well, Muckbill, as you well know, the Lakers aren't the only team in Los Angeles. The Clippers sailing along right now. They won their fifth consecutive victory on Tuesday night. That's the NBA's longest active streak. They routed the Sacramento Kings 119-98. And it looks like they're starting to really adapt to James Harden now, Muckbill, playing some really nice basketball.
How about this? James Harden with the highest plus minus for the night with 26, plus 26. Tied with Norman Powell, meaning when he's on the floor, things are going well for the Clippers. 15 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. He really is showing himself to be that player that we know he is, playing very selfless, getting Kawhi Leonard involved. Kawhi with a solid 31 points. PG didn't really have that great of a game, but sometimes you just got to chalk it up to playing defense. Maybe if your shots aren't dropping, if I'm looking over here, he was 3-for-7 from the field. Didn't really get too many shots off in only about 15 minutes of play. So it could be he was on limited minutes as well, maybe nursing a potential injury or something along those lines. Russell Westbrook, 8 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. So it looks like the team is starting to, you know, like you said, find their groove, find their mojo a little bit. I'm excited to see how that goes. But Kawhi really is, you know, letting folks know, this is my team. I'm here to get the points. Everyone else can be supplementary. But I think that actually adds a different level, too, because what it does is it lets people know, okay, all right, as James Harden, as a Westbrook, even as a PG, what do we do to make sure that Kawhi is, you know, not only getting the ball, but is in the optimum position to be able to get these shots off. So I like it. He was 2-for-3 from three-point land as well. I always like the fact that Kawhi is a very selective three-point shooter. He can shoot the three ball really well, but he just doesn't shoot it that often. 11-for-14 from the rest of the field, so.
Finally, Muckbill, we talked about Draymond Green getting ejected. Nikola Jokic, the Serbian star for the reigning NBA champion Denver Nuggets, also ejected last night in the second quarter. But really, the Nuggets kind of show their depth, Muckbill. They still beat the Chicago Bulls 114-106. Your thoughts?
Jokic has shown us moments where he kind of goes off the rails. and if this is a common theme, I think what teams are going to start adding to their scouting report, as you know, unfair or whatever you may want to call it, is if I know a player on the other team, especially a player of that caliber, has an inability to control his temper, right? And I know that it's a devastating loss for that team if he's gone. Coaching staff may be sending in a player off the bench who really is going to be nothing more than be a pest to that specific player. Go in there, play 10 to 15 minutes where you're just picking up fouls, just getting annoying, getting under his skin, getting physical with him, making sure that everything is difficult for him, and seeing if we catch a lucky break. You know, does he go off the hinges and get ejected because of, you know, his inability to stay locked in and stay in the thing? So when you're a championship team or trying to run it back to back, teams will try you from every which way. And to be honest, Sonny, it's your responsibility as the leader of that team to not go out like that, because now you leave your teammates out there high and dry. Luckily for you, they're talented enough that they were able to get it done. They have a player, Reggie Jackson, who, my goodness, when I tell you, Reggie is such a phenomenal guard, such a phenomenal player, and I don't know why he's not been able to find his footing on an NBA roster to be on the starting lineup. He played 31 minutes last night, team high 25 points. He's just unbelievable. You know, to think that not only was Jokic not playing, Jamal Murray was out, wasn't even playing as well, and they still were able to get it done. This team is still very, very deep, still has the potential to run it back. Yeah, Reggie Jackson is unbelievable, Sonny. So, you know, if I were some teams, trade deadlines, you know, I would try to move Reggie Jackson from this team, man. he's really holding it down. He's what we would start calling the fixer.
Talking NBA hoops with Mukbil Yabberow. Thank you, Mukbil.
Thanks, Sonny.
You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
And that wraps up the December 13th edition of the show. thanks to producer and Sunny Side of Sports analyst Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to engineer Kelia Williams. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.